Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
I don't need a story, Lord, every week, I promise, in there. Those of you that didn't hear my Walmart story, you'll have to go online. And yeah, see, you hear the laughter already, and you know that one, yes, in there. But we're just going to continue to pick up today. One of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to do more teaching-oriented to close this up today. If you didn't get an opportunity to be here last Sunday, you can just go grab that sermon online and catch up with us. But I believe that there is upon us right now. The Lord has been training me to change my language from looking that something is coming to something is upon us. And to beginning to speak that even though it is still somewhat in the distance, that there's something, there's something upon us. And you may sound that may seem so strange to you in the sense of going, well, it's just a shifting of a language. It's a matter of that if our hearts are always looking for something to come, we miss what is already here. We can miss the joy of what is already before us when we're constantly looking into the future, in essence, of what God will do in there. Now, there is something beautiful about looking into the future to see what God will do, but this is can I encourage you right now, this is a now season. So if you have a pen or a piece of paper and whatnot along this, I don't normally say this, but I would encourage you to take a little bit of notes today. We will as well have some slides up here that you can see. And I don't know if this is going to work because this will be interesting trying to juggle these two things in here like this. Okay, so last week we were talking about a divine surprise, and we're talking about the children of Israel moving out of Egyptian bondage and moving into the promised land and going from a sense of, even though that during this wilderness season that they had provision in the natural, they were in the process of getting Egypt out of them. How many of you know that if you really look, you can find a lot of Egypt still in you at times? Now, what that means is that the old ways of thinking, old bondages of thinking, things, and right now, one of the things I recognize that more than ever before is that we have been in a season and we have been in a training ground in this last wilderness season that for our mindsets to begin to change. I want to be somebody, you're going to hear this word a lot in the next year. Do you know that today is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah? Today is the sense of the new year for the Jewish people, that their calendar actually shifted today and it's over this these next couple of days as well. But this is the beginning, and what happens is I believe a lot of times God begins to show us things about the new year and about this year coming. You say, well, we're only in the end of September. I know that, but at the same time, it's a matter of preparation. I believe that the 2023, and it's not just because we've made some decisions about some things, but it's all about learning to walk like Jesus. Now you say, well, you know, isn't that obvious? Shouldn't we all? I'm telling you, it is a season to learn to walk like Jesus. In this season, though, that we're in right now, those who choose to live in a negative attitudes will spend their lives wandering in the wilderness. You see that up there. It is so important for us to transition, to move away from being wilderness wanderers to walking through the wilderness. Last week, I talked about the fact that we think of sometimes as the wilderness as punishment, and yet that's not what God was doing in those seasons. He was preparing them for their next. Yes, their doubt caused a punishment to come in the sense of not being able to walk in for many into the promised land. But the wilderness itself was to get all of that Egypt stuff, all of those attitudes, all the things that they had become their mindsets out of them for this promised land that they were walking into. One of the things that I want us to realize here is, though, is that those who choose, it says here, those who choose to live in the negative attitudes will spend their lives wandering in the wilderness. But this is just jumped ahead of me there. But until those attitudes are replaced with godly ones, you will wander and wonder why you're wandering. Now, in Christ, we move forward. In Christ, all things are possible. But there is a season that we have just walked out of. Hear me? Hear the words. I am declaring over you right now that we have walked out of.
Come on now, walk with me in this right now. I am declaring over you that we have walked out of this last season. It's time to grab a hold of this, because the thing is that if I continuously am looking back with regrets, I will never be able to move forward in what God has for us. I believe this next year is going to be so tied in with what the year, really it's 5783 for the Jewish calendar, but this talks about the three. The three is, and I have some of the notes in the back, but I guess I'm just moving around today. But the idea in this is Gamal is what that three is. And that's what the letter is of the Jewish alphabet, which is also has a numeric value 3. But that word Gamal, not only does it mean, if you remember almost 10 years ago, remember me talking about the camels are coming. That was in 2013, because Gamal is the picture of a camel bringing provision. How many of you need provision in this next season? Come on now, we all should have it. Come on, give me a chance now. How many of you need provision in this season? Come on, put up your hand. You need provision, because if you don't need provision, I'll take some of yours. Because where we are about to walk into, we need all the provision that we can get. We have a vision to accomplish. Amen? Think about it. My soul is jumping because when I looked up again, I see, again, I know Pastor Jay, you're going to share a little bit about this. But if you look at the fact of week one being Thrive Groups, week two coming together and prayer and worship night, that's not just for those that you say, well, the prayer warriors can go do that. That's for all of us. In fact, point at someone beside you and say, that's for you. It's for you. It's for us. It's for everyone to come. But can you imagine if we began to connect together, if we began to have discipleship together, if we began to change together on those Thrive nights, and we began to become more like Christ, and we began and we open up the heavens on that second week of the month in a prayer and fasting and believing for God to begin to move, and then look out for the Friday night of that month as we get together to encounter God and what He is about to do in this season. See, this is a beautiful, beautiful, yeah, it's not just something, it is, we don't need any more programs. This is not in my notes, Pastor Jay, anywhere in there. We just don't need another program. I think that in many ways, COVID stripped us of a program mentality, and we didn't even have all that much of it at that time. But this is not a program. We are not putting in Thrive Groups because we need something to do. We are beginning this journey, and it's a rebirthing of something. Behold, I am doing something new, the Lord says. And this Thrive Groups are not just taking something old and recycling it. It's something brand new. How many of you need to be discipled? Come on. If that was your opportunity to put up your hand. You should have both hands up in the air. We need to be discipled. I never stop being a disciple, ever. Ever, ever. The day I think that I have stopped becoming a disciple or I need to be discipled, I am in heaven. Seriously. And in that moment, I'm sure it's going to all start again. It's going to be fun in a different way. But there is discipleship that is core to all of us. And none of us can say, well, I don't need that. All of us have this need inside of us to become Christ-like, to transition. And when we look at that word Gamal in there, what it comes from, it's so cool. It's referring again to the number 3. And we know that the Holy Spirit was the third person of the Trinity. But it's also referring to this word Gamal means to have this sense of maturity. It means to move from immaturity to a weaning process, to move to a maturity in God. And this is what I am looking for. And you say, well, are you saying, Pastor Ed, I'm not mature? I can get more and more like Jesus. Amen? And there is a maturity. There are some things that are very immature in my life. Come on now. If you're willing to admit it, you'd say the same thing for you. There are some attitudes that I have. There are some things that I think of. There's ways that I think. There are things that are so immature that I have been serving the Lord now for 50 years this year. 50 years have been walking with Jesus, and there are some things that have got to go. Nobody else, just me. There are things that got to go. I got to move into the maturity of these things. And maturity, it's the sense of what it comes from, this word for Gamal. It refers to a ripening. A ripening. And where you get that from, it's really kind of cool, is if you remember when Aaron's leadership was being challenged. And the people came and said, hey, you know what? All of us can be priests. Why just you? Come on, Moses. Why just you in this? Why just Aaron in this situation? And God was not very happy. In fact, there's other words that are in there that if you want to find out about the anger of God in those moments, that complaining, that whining, that sense of not being happy with who God had chosen, boy, that changes things. God's upset with those kinds of mentalities. I am so thankful that I am in this side of grace right now, that I don't have to deal with the same thing that they dealt with. But guess what? He still doesn't like those things. And in those moments, because we're in grace now, doesn't mean we get to go do the things that the law didn't allow us to do. Come on now, that was a good word. Grace is not about being able to do the things that the law told us not to do. And this is the sense of walking with one another in this way. And I love the fact of this word gamel, because it comes, it means to ripen, it means to bring into maturity. It actually means to move away from the weaning process. Move away from having to be weaned. Moving away from this sense of, if you've ever had a toddler, and you're actually younger than a toddler, but an infant baby who can't do anything, nothing for themselves, can't even walk, can't do anything. Do you go on vacation and leave them home? Yes, exactly, just like that. No, you don't. In fact, you can't leave them. They sleep, certainly they do all those things, but you're watchful over them. They need you for all of these things. This is the representation of what this word means. It is moving from this kind of infancy to the fact of maturely walking. And I would say it this way, it's about walking in the ways of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? What is our, if you look on the wall back there for us, what is the theme really of our church is learning walking in the ways of Jesus. What next year I believe is going to be all about is walking in the ways of Jesus. It's walking into this maturity in him. But the story again has Aaron being challenged in his leadership. And so God says, okay, fine, take this staff, take Aaron's staff, and now all get the other 11 tribes in, get the leaders of those 11 tribes, get their staffs, their rods, okay, in this, which are dead pieces of wood, in this, and bring them together and put them in the tabernacle. Actually, put them in the tent of meeting is what it was at that time. It was the place that Moses encountered God. And so they placed them in there. And the scripture talks about the fact not just that God picked Aaron. It is unbelievable what it says in there. It says that not only did the stick, which was dead, come on, you got to catch this. The stick that was dead in this, it brought forth a bud. Then it brought forth a blossom, which is a flower. Then it brought forth the sense of almonds, and then they became ripe and ready to eat. In that moment, overnight, there was an absolute transformation that God was showing. Look, see, I don't want you to miss this. This Aaron, this is who I have chosen for this next season and this next time. And we are going to walk, Moses and Aaron together, and those that are there, we are going to walk into the new together. And I believe that this season right now, this next year, really talks about us learning to move away. And so we look at this here. Our present attitudes predict how you will respond to the present and coming difficulties. I'm not speaking anything over you right now that I think there's going to be difficulties, but I don't have a sense that around us that we're going to see a lot of change around us in the world around us in 2023. But the change needs to be that the world around us would see the change in us, right? Come on now, I have been in back to school with the Lord in the last, probably ever since the middle of August, and he has been training me again to realize that I've got to get some of these things out of me. Whoops, here we go, that went the wrong direction. Oh, I'm going, okay, I'm sure, okay, hang on, I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Okay, there we go. When we choose doubting, now this is so very important to grasp. When we choose doubting, complaining, might want to write this down, we decide that the grace of God is not enough for the situation. When we complain, we say that the grace of God was not enough for the situation. Anybody have some difficult things happening right now? I got some difficult things happening right now in this. The point is, when I begin to complain, I am saying that the grace of God in this situation doesn't have enough power to bring change. You say, sometimes people are tired of hearing the phrase, what lie are we believing? It's not necessarily even totally what lie we're believing, but it's how, what lie that has been is in right so ingrained into our thinking that it has become our attitude. It has become our expectation. If you look at this next, we restrict the flow of grace when we complain and doubt. I don't want any kind of restriction of God's grace. Amen? Now you say, well, hang on a second. You know, there is the sense of, I didn't say that God's grace can't work. I didn't say that God's grace can't poke through. I didn't say that God's grace can't carry you. I didn't say that you can't declare yourself by faith and begin to receive. That's not what I'm talking about. But there is this sense that in our brains that when we complain about something, we're saying, well, this will work for others. God can change it for others, but he probably won't change it for me. And that's got to change. That's got to go. Because in this next season, guess what? We're going to see the miraculous begin to happen, even as Pastor Gary said. But in the midst of the miraculous, it will be a dry and barren land all around us. And you say, oh, Pastor, are you speaking over this world? I'm just telling you, there are difficult things that are already there, that are already in this world. And this world needs to see a fresh cup of water. Come on now, look beside someone and say, you're a fresh cup of water. And you might say, that seems a little strange. No, no, no. You are a fresh cup of water because what you have will bring change into this world. Now look, there is a difference between wilderness walking and wilderness wandering. Wilderness walking has purpose and it has a destination. Wilderness walking has the fact of you're following after God and what he's doing. But when you look at the wilderness is not meant as a place of punishment, but its purpose is preparation. We talked about this last week, saying that if you didn't believe me in this, you'll see that when we see Jesus and he comes in for baptism, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon him like a dove, and God says, the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In this moment. And then the next chapter, in chapter 4, what happens? Sends him, and the Spirit of God sent him into the wilderness. See, it wasn't because Christ was being punished in those moments. It was a preparation to begin to see where he was going. There was this preparation of knowing the reliance upon the Word of God. There was this preparation of reliance upon his Father. The process of moving from this, we talked a little bit about this last week, about this glass half empty that I had spent years and years and years, almost 25 years ago now, of on this journey of saying, I have to stop thinking like the glass is half empty all the time. I have to stop being that all of a sudden a little bit of a tick, tick, clock, clock, clock happens in my car, and before you know it, I've got it in the junkyard, and I've got to go down and buy a new one. I've got to stop thinking that every time I'd see, because this is what happened, and I have been a pastor a lot longer than 25 years. You say, wow. Even as in this ministry, even in those things, we don't realize sometimes how much of that glass half empty mentality we have. But I believe there's more to it than just changing. Because we see here from the glass half empty mentality to a glass half full. And then here's the one to a glass that is overflowing. This is the next for us. It's not just moving from being able to see. And this is not positive thinking stuff. This is a matter of relying on God. This is a matter of looking at a situation that you might see as a glass half empty and be able to go, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Okay, come on, mind. Hang on, go with me now. Mouth, be quiet just for a second. Okay, because sometimes you got to just, maybe you can be gentle. Sometimes I just got to go. Because the mouth has to stop. In this. And then I sit there and go, okay, let's begin to declare what God is going to do in this situation. Let's declare who he is over this situation. And guess what? I don't have to feel like it to do it. That's most of my problem is that when I don't feel like doing it very much, I can tend to let it slide. And I'm looking for, listen to words, I'm looking for the presence of God to come on me or an anointing to come on me so that I will begin to do this. That is the opposite of the way that it's supposed to be. That when we see these things naturally out of us, should flow out of us the expectation of heaven. Come on now, that's a good word. The expectation of heaven beginning to flow out of our mouths. And this is this transformation. This is this change that is beginning to happen within us. And I think that basically brings us up to the point where we were from last week. But this is how I begin to move from this glass half empty mentality. That repenting of every negative, doubt-filled thought
For a while there, it was constant. It was every day, and then it was more than every day. It was every moment, and I realized that it was every second, that I had to continually grab a hold of every negative thought that was pervading out of my mind and begin to tell myself what to think. Did you hear me? I began to tell myself what to think. There is this sense of having to move forward into this. It says there that in every ungodly thing that came out of my mouth that started in my heart was the hardest process I've ever been through in my life. See, this thing happens where there is this double sense of what God is doing, that he's bringing both restoration in a resurrection form in our hearts, but he's also renewing our mind. This next year is a lot to do with renewing our mind. It is about having new mindsets. It's about walking in new things. And in order to move from this mentality, we need a holistic approach. And I mean the fact of both things happening at the same time, to heal the heart and to replant the mind. Now you're saying, why do you use that word? Because I believe that the seed of God, God's word, is got to be replanted into our minds. And this is not something where I don't want to do devotions just so I can get it done. Now listen, if you're in a bad situation and a bad time in that, sometimes the discipline of doing your devotions is just a good thing in the midst of that. But our time with the Lord and the time in the word is about replanting the seeds of God's word into our minds over and over and over again, that they would grow and become our reactions. Amen? That the word of God would become our reaction. We need prayers that heal the heart, repentance that cleanses the heart, and truth. Not someone else's truth or some, in a sense of a get help, a get healthy, a sense of a guru type of thing. We're talking about I need the truth of God's word to rebuild my mind. And that may, if that offends you, the fact of to be rebuilt your mind, we're talking about Romans chapter 12 and 2, that our mindsets need to be rebuilt. We need to have that renewing of our mind, the transformation. You see, this may be a challenge for some of you, what I'm about to say here. I believe that we can go to heaven without having our minds renewed. I say it to you again. I believe we can go to heaven, salvation, without our having our minds fully removed, renewed. There you go. We all needed a break just for a second from my intensity. You're so funny, Holy Spirit. Listen to this next part, though. I'll try to pick up where I was. That was a good point. Okay, I can go to heaven without renewing my mind, but I can't bring heaven to earth without having my mindsets renewed. See, my journey is not about going to heaven. I'm secure. I walk with Jesus. I'm not worried. I don't worry that, oh, just messed up. Man, if he would have came in that second, I'd have been done for. Somewhat grew up with that mentality. I can remember the fact of going down to see my parents were, I don't even remember what happened necessarily. He came home and mom wasn't home. She may have just been over to the neighbors, but my mom was always home when I came home from school. Always. So when my mom wasn't there, it was like, oh, Lord, did I miss it? Did the rapture come? So you know what I'd do? I would go down to this lady that I knew down the street who went to another church that I knew if the rapture happened or if heaven came, okay, boom, she'd be gone. So I'd go down there, and nobody came to the door. And she was always home. I'm like, oh, no. But see, as a child, you watch those movies, and they put these things into your head and whatnot, and I don't think it's healthy. I think a lot of it is fear-mongering in this. But there is an understanding here in this that I don't worry or fear if I make mistakes in this. But here's the thing. If I'm going to bring heaven to earth, I have got to change. I've got to have a mindset that begins to change. Everlasting life is mine, but heaven working in me and through me, bringing salvation to every area of my life is my choice. And God will not, listen to this, God will not make that choice for me.
I have to make that choice. I choose. I say, you know what? It's going to be kind of hard to get back into a routine after being off so long to going every other week to a Thrive group and to be able to be devoted to that and be able to do that. That's going to take some a challenge. That's going to take some pushing. That's going to say, you know, have to say, you know what? I think this is valuable. I think this is important. I'm going to do this. No matter what I got to set up so I can get there, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to make this an important, valuable thing in my life. I'm going to choose that this isn't just something my church is doing. I'm going to choose that in this season we're walking into right now, that I want to be a part of this because I want to be a transformed one. Amen? I want to bring heaven to earth inside of me. And you know how you do that? We have encounters with God, like we're going to do at the last Friday of every month. Have encounters with God, we'll begin to do this. But truly to bring heaven on earth is to bring it through me, to bring it through you. The transformation, as I say, to be that cup of water to those that are around us. This is how heaven comes to earth. This is how this encounters begin to happen. You see, listen, it says here, you can't expect the fullness of heaven to stay unless your heart and mind is renewed. You will begin to leak out what God gives you. Now listen to me here in this. You see, new wine, I believe that there is a new wine. And those of you that are going, new wine, what is he talking about? Are we going down to the wine store and getting some wine? What is he talking about here? New wine is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Anybody want one? I want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a dynamic outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that he has complete and absolute control in my life, and he pours and pours and pours. Scripture talks about it being new wine, okay? The presence of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. But Matthew 9 and 17 says, neither do we people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be renewed. No, they pour the new wineskins or new wine into wineskins, and both are preserved in this. This is what I'm talking about. This wine expands the wineskin. Over the next years, God begins to pour into us. And as we begin to have these encounter nights, do you know that they're not just for us? Seriously, they're not just for us. We're not doing this just for us. We're doing this so that the person that you meet in the grocery store, you say, you know what, next Friday night, you got to come. You got to come. This Friday night at the end of the month of October, you got to come. You got to come. And someone who you say will never step inside the door, but when they come in and they sense and they feel and they have the sense of that, I don't understand what God, what's doing in here, but there's something different here because they experience God in that place. You see, this is what begins to happen, and this pouring out and the sense of what's going to happen in our Thrive groups and the sense of what's going to happen on that second week of the month when we get together and pray and we begin to seek the Lord, we will begin to be filled with this new wine. Amen? And here's what we need. We need the new wineskins. And this comes by being together in discipleship. It comes by renewing of our minds so that we can be carriers of what he has given us. You know, often James talks about in James chapter 3 that our tongues are like a weapon, it talks about, that goes in and burns up the forest. Guess what the forest was for? The forest is made of wood. Wood is where we get building materials. The things that God wants to build in our lives, giving us the provision to do those things, with our tongues we can burn them up in those moments. And I'm telling you, I need to see this change in me. I need it to be that my mindsets, my attitudes, my expectations begin to become more like him. Anybody with me? Boy, I tell you, we really need this in this time right now. When we see this change and transformation, though, is not unreversible. And what I mean by that is this, is that this transformation that we're talking about is something that we begin to do on a daily basis and we continuously. I thought that when I battled the glass half empty mentality, that once I basically got it under my feet, like, thank you, Lord, it'll never come back. I realized that sometimes that mentality is like walking on a treadmill. And you're continuously going against it. And it's something for me that I had to, and I still have to, constantly be reminding myself that I will have the mind of Christ in this moment. Even if my response was not like him, that my reaction, what I do afterwards in that moment, I want my response to become just like his. But if I mess up and my response to a situation is not, when I hurt my hand this week, my response at that moment was not filled with thank you, praise Jesus. Okay, it wasn't. And in fact, my mind began to sit there and go, come on, right now in the middle of all this. But here's what happened. On the way to the car, on the way, we're going to, because I am on blood thinners, so that makes it even more of a challenge in those moments. On the way to go to the doctors, I began to sit there and say in those moments, God, you got a plan. I'm excited to see what your plan is in all of this. I rely upon you, Lord. And right now, with the situation that's happened with this, I am relying on him for a miraculous healing in the midst of this. Amen? Amen. Now, this is where our journey is. Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That verse there, when it says, right there, when it says whose mind, that is actually referencing to the fact of mindsets. When it says the word stayed, it means, this is what that word means. It means to focus or have a fixed viewpoint. My focus and my fix, my eyes are focused on you, O Lord. And then this part of the verse, look, because I trust in you. I tell you, the journey of the last 3 years has been hard. And I thought I was angry and mad at people and about situations and about all these other things. But I realized that in the end, God began to whittle all these things down and began to show me that I had, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of the difficulties and everybody experienced, not just me, everybody around us, we could have all of you share the difficulties of those times. But in this moment, for some reason, I began to believe the lies. I began to believe the lies that God will do this for someone else, but he won't do it for me. And you wait, how in the world do you as a pastor get that lie to begin to come up in your brain? Because after disappointment, after disappointment, after disappointment, after disappointment begins to come, it begins to wear on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The sense of wearing. It was like a grinding rather than. It was like I felt like I was just being ground down to nothing. And the next person that would come along and they need something from me, and I found myself having less and less and less to give. And here's the thing, is I realized in the midst of this battle and over this last month and a half, is that I had to face the fact that I had stopped in some measure of trusting God. And that was so embarrassing. I sat there for a while until the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, are you done? I began to think, yeah, some pastor you are. And begin to just sort of, aren't we always really, really good at just tearing a strip out of ourselves? And the Lord's like, are you done, Rod? So let's deal with a few things. And I began to recognize that these experiences had caused me to not trust. And so the journey for me and the journey for all of us will be very similar, but in this. But the journey began to be that, Lord, I repent that doubt has become again a mindset for me. Maybe not for you. Maybe you haven't struggled this way or walked this way. But the pounding was so constant. The grinding was so constant that doubt became like a seed in my mind that began to grow. And I could have faith. And listen to this. I could have faith and I'd seen miracles in the midst of all of this mindsets for other people. I had faith to pray in different situations and whatnot that God would come upon me and there would be miraculous things happened. But for me and myself, I began to doubt whether God was for me. And you see, here's the two things that you have got to get when you're talking about this next season. You have got to, and it feels like, Pastor Jay, haven't we done this so many times already, but is who is God and who am I? Who is the God that I serve? To know the identity of your God, that he is with me, that he is for me, that he is on my side, that he has, and I'm not talking about an argument with someone, hear me now in this, but that he is for me and he is ready to see me change and transform. And when I begin to go through the process of the last month and a half of spending time in repentance, spending time on my face and saying, God, forgive me because this mindset has come greater than you again. And I went, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because if I don't have the full trust in you, I can't do this. Anybody with me? I need to have my trust fully in him. So I chose that day and I realized that this wasn't about the fact of had to have somebody come and pray for me. It was the matter now that came the work. It came the work over these last 6 weeks of beginning to go, okay, so what scriptures do I need to read? What scriptures do I need to digest? What do I need to begin to believe? What do I need to prophesy? What do I need to speak out of my mouth in declarations? What does have to come out of my mind? And at the exact same time, I need to sit in his presence and have my heart healed. Because if I go through this and don't have a healed heart, it will always come back to bite me. Because what does the scripture say about the things that come out of our mouth? What's the source? Our hearts. So I need an instantaneous experience with God that does bring healing, like a resurrection healing in my heart, but then moves into my mind, and I am responsible for planting those things. Wow, it's already 11:41. Okay, wilderness wandering is dreadful. It says here, wilderness wandering is the pathway to the next. Is the pathway to the next. We have got to start walking out of this. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Perceive it means this, to know it, to see it, because your lenses are clean. To know it because your mindsets are godly. Able to perceive because we have clean sights. So that should be in there, created by a renewed mindset. There is this, I'm not even maybe saying that quite right because I just started rushing through in this in there. But wilderness wandering, listen, is caused by us refusing to change. You're going to write something down? Write this down. Wilderness wandering is caused by us refusing to change. But listen, wilderness walking, and that is to walk out of the wilderness, is by following God through it, keeping our eyes on the horizon, willing to change, willing to let something die in order to bring forth new life. You see, you will only find the new when you shed the old. There is this sense of wilderness wandering leads to camping out in the wrong place. Anybody been in the wrong place in your mind? Oh, that is not a fun place for my wife. When I am camped out in the wrong place in my mind. This lady is a saint right up here, okay, in there. Just later on, just tell her how much you love her, how much you appreciate her in there, because she is a saint. Because when I'm camped out in the wrong place, woo, you don't want to be around me camping, that's for sure, in those moments. But listen, the wilderness walking, though, leads to the next building site. Now, I want you to hear this. We are about to go into a new building site. Can I say that again? We're about to be offered in 2023 to build again. It's already turned because the page in the Spirit in God's calendar has already changed into this. We are being offered the opportunity to build again. I'm telling you, I feel this so strongly, and I am not talking about some building on some piece of property. Guess where the building site is? It's in us. Guess where the promised land is? It's in us. We are the new building site. We are the new promised land. We are. When it says here, if you go to the next one, wilderness wanderings intent is to kill us off. Seriously, wilderness wanderings intent is to kill us off. But wilderness walking's intent is to make us into the promised land. So here, bringing in a conclusion into this and trying to land this morning, I would say to you this. That what has to die or be shed in order to in our present wilderness wandering in order for us to start walking. I showed you these last week in here, but I really think that it's important, even though the journey can be a challenge. This last month and a half for me going on this journey, I talk less. That was a joke. I talk less because I realized that a lot of the words were complaining.
So when I stopped complaining, apparently I talked less. And you're like, Pastor Rod, you, seriously? Sorry. Replacing complaining, though, with thankfulness. Here we go, the next one. Sorry. Replacing covetousness with contentment. That covetousness is, what a word, eh? In this is looking at somebody else and saying, God, why is it so easy for them? You might think it's all about the fact I want their boat, I want their house. No, no, no. It's God, why are they born with a silver spoon in their mouth? Why does everything seem to work right for them? Why does everything seem to just fall in place for them? And you see again, what are you doing? When we're in those moments, what are we saying? The grace of God is enough for them, but it's not enough for me. See, that's what we have to move away and move into contentment. Contentment is not a place. It's your presence. Hear me? Contentment is not something where you sit down and you don't do anything then. Contentment is the peace inside of you as you begin to move forward. You're replacing criticism. And criticism, so complaining is about situations. Criticism is against people. So replacing criticism with love. And I don't have time this morning to fully go through this, but I love this one. Replacing doubting with faith again. And then replacing rebellion with submission. I have spent so much time over these last 6 weeks of repenting to God for my rebellion. Maybe none of you have this in your own hearts and lives. But rebellion for me was simply this. God, I don't like the way you're doing it. Okay, I guess it's just me. God, I don't like the way you're doing it. And see, that is rebellion because I am not trusting him. And I've gotten back to the fact of saying, Lord, I want to place my trust wholly and absolutely in you. And I recognize again that I need my mind renewed. Anybody else with me? So not only do we need to get those attitudes out of ourselves, but we need the both resurrection and replanting. So we need that intimacy, that moment with Jesus, where he begins to bring resurrection life to our hearts so that we begin to be healed. But then we have this replanting in our minds that we have this expectation. And I know I'm going a bit long here, but the new building season will not happen without these two things. Are you ready? Now, you remember that when we talked about the new building season, it's two things, it's two parts. It's building it in us, but as it begins to build us, guess what? It's going to build in here. We're going to see as God begins to build this in us, he begins to do this in us and through us, and our church begins to have this, just this vibrancy in life like that we have been crying out for a while. But these are the two things, and they're not easy. Risk. You must begin to risk again. And you say, well, isn't there anything that's risky when you're talking about God? I'm not talking about whether he will come through. It's the matter of trusting God with your heart, right? That when you're in those places, that feels like risk. And but it's not, but it feels a whole lot like that. To be able to step out, we must have a heart. If you want to say it instead of risking, you're saying the ability to step out again. See, when a pastor starts talking about these things, the first thing sometimes goes into your mind goes, what's he going to ask us to do at the end? What's he going to ask us to sign up for? What's he going to have us do? That's not going to happen today in this. This is about God changing us. And the first one then is learning to risk, but we have to have that healthy heart and mind inside of us. And the second one we'll need to walk into this new building season is a fullness of supernatural grace to build. We need God to give us the grace in this next season. Amen? I don't want to do this by myself. Come on, now that was a good word. I don't want to do this by myself. We have to do this walking in his grace. Last thing is this, vision. This is the next season, is to grabbing a hold of vision. Vision like we've never had before. A vision of understanding what God is saying in this season for ACM. Now, can I talk to you? If you're a visitor here, I love you. I'm so grateful that you're with us today. But let me talk about those that call this place their home. The vision in the next season is going to ask us to act like Jesus. And I tell you, if you don't think I struggled with being able to say this, I have warred and lost, and I'm going to say it anyways. Because listen to me in this. This next season, to be like Jesus, we have to be committed to the vision through our pastor. I'm just going to leave it sit there. I believe in this vision.
I am excited about what God is going to do. If we could get into discipleship every other week, if we could get into once a month into prayer with the whole body, if we could begin to have encounter nights like this, do you think we'll be transformed? We'll be changed. Will be absolutely transformed and changed. So that sense of submitting to the heart, sacrificial is the next S in there that Jesus showed us, and he did this. This is this commitment to help bear the load. Now, if I was to ask, let me just pick somebody here. If I was to ask Noah, where's Noah? Noah's up around. Okay, if I was then to ask anyone that was younger to come and pick me up. Could Abby's like, I want to do it. Okay, I doubt that Abby could pick me up. She might be able to throw me. Yeah, she's ready to give it a shot. But let me ask you, could 25 people pick me up? They could? Come on now. It is the sense of in this vision, if you leave this to just the pastors, I don't want to burn out. Do you understand my heart? And this, I'm not trying to put anything. If you got a guilt sandwich there, then just put it off to the side. It wasn't intended to be served that way. But this is about all of us walking together. And this sacrificial means this, to be willing and joyful about giving of our finances, our time, our heart, and our trust again. The third one is this, is steadfast. Let me just see if I can get that. There we go, steadfast. And steadfast simply means this. It means committed to not easily be offended or taken out of position. This next season is where I believe that God is going to do some miraculous things. Look around. Is there enough room here? We got some room, right? We've got some room. We can make room. So if somebody wants to sit in your seat next week, that's okay, right? Amen. Amen. I'll just keep, they want to sit in my seat. I don't care. Okay, in there. I just want to see this house filled so people can be encountering God. Now, I'm just going to skip past this business. Pastor Jay, we're going to go right to the end. If you want to stand with me as I close, I believe this is the statement that I'm going to use for my life this year. And I encourage you that it just may be, I'm not saying this is a statement for ACM, but this is a statement for my life this year. And if you choose, you could maybe take a picture of it, or we can maybe put it online later on. But I believe this is really what 2023 will be like in my life, and I'm hoping like all of our lives. It says this, we are the building site. Point to yourself. We are the building site, okay, in this, forged in the image of Christ, mighty ones, with God given power and authority to transform our world, because we ourselves have been transformed by his power, by his authority, by his love, and by his grace. This is who I will be when 2023 is done. This is who I will be, and it won't be done in isolation. It will not be accomplished on my own, but it will be accomplished by me saying, you know what? I need to be in discipleship. I need to be in prayer, and I need to be involved with these encounter meetings. Is this me as a pastor just trying to give you a burden and telling you to do all this stuff? Please do not take it that way. This is saying, I want to be transformed. I want to be forged in the image of Christ. I declare that I am a mighty one with God, given power and authority to transform our world because we ourselves have been transformed. Amen? Amen. Just close your eyes for a second and bow your head. Father, I thank you for what you are doing in all of us today. God, I pray that even whatever it is that you would have them to take home, that it would be like food for them all day long and all week long. That we will digest this, Lord, that we will say yes, God, to you. I want to go on this journey, Lord, of removing these old mindsets, these attitudes, these things that have got to go. And I want to become, Lord, I want to become completely just like you, Christ-like, transformed in the image of Jesus. So, Lord, I declare right now that I trust you. I walk away from every fear, every doubt, and every lie. And I declare that I trust you. Come on, say it with me now. I declare that I trust you, Lord. And I am so excited of what in the next 3 months that you're going to begin to do in us as we prepare even for the journey to walk in the ways of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch,
you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.